Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
To the Yellow Block on the TalkSport Fan Network. I'm Tim. Apologies once again for our tardiness in recording. I don't really have any excuse. A bit like last time, we're just, lazy. But my fellow lazyites are with me this evening, joined by Mr. Jared Farmer. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Tim. How are you?
Yeah, I'm right, thanks. Even though you think I'm down.
You just don't see... Normally, you don't see me... You just seem a little bit brighter normally. You look a little bit... weathered today, more than usual.
Well, I don't really have an excuse for that. I as you know, I've just got back from a massage. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe I'm just, you know, chilling, man. I'm just relaxed. My spiritual needs are taken care of. My chakras are aligned. I don't know. I'm not sure. A load of bollocks. You can say, yeah. Have you ever had your chakras aligned, Jared?
No, it's a load of shit. Yeah. Save my money.
You're not a fan of Reiki?
Oh, what, sorry?
Also joining me, I've got Mr. Sam Edwards. Hello, sir.
Good evening.
How are we doing?
Yeah, I'm all right. How are you? I agree with Jared. You seem deflated.
No, I'm just relaxed. I've genuinely just had a rub down, so I'm relaxed. Got a candle going, as you guys can see in the background. I'm just
the person who gave you that massage. They're not in the kitchen, are they?
They're not in the kitchen. No, it's just me in the kitchen at the moment. Yeah. No, I'm just chilled. But you know, we've got lots to talk about. Well, I think we've got lots to talk about. We've got no script, so apologies to anyone listening. It could be quite disorganized, but yeah, they have to make the best pods. I don't know what's happened since we last recorded. We've won a couple of league games. Oh, and we did have a little day out in the capital. That was good fun. Our unbeaten Wembley record continues after dominating Wickham with a 2-1 win. Sam, this was a good day out in the capital, right?
It was, mostly. Obviously, a brilliant, brilliant result, and it wasn't the most glamorous game in the world, was it? Although some people are saying it's boring, and I kind of get that, but actually... For me, I always felt there was something in it. Like I couldn't take my eyes off the pitch, not because it was amazing and because it was end to end and breathless because we're playing Wickham. But I always felt we were trying to make something happen. And it was maybe just a bit of poor decision making, you know, as we got towards the goal, certainly in the first half. So I thought the game was maybe slightly better than others were thinking. But yeah, all in all, a good game. But I know we're going to get on to the more sour events, I guess, of the big day out as well.
Indeed, I dropped my Coke Zero and lost half a bottle of that. That's what we will discuss shortly. No, actually, I think that's a good summary, Sam. I think the way that I've come to surmise this game is it always felt... Wickham were quite content to sit back, play on the counter, and it was quite anti-football. And it always felt as though Posh was stuck in like second gear and just... You always kind of felt like they had that little bit more about them. And to me, it always felt like... That first goal would have opened the floodgates. And obviously, it transpired that was the case. It just all came a little bit too late. But there is no beating around the bush, Sam. It was boring. I understand what you're saying, but if you're a neutral watching that, you have fallen asleep after your Sunday dinner watching that game.
Yeah, but I suppose I'm not a neutral, which is why I didn't find it quite so boring as others. Yeah, I don't think many people would have been tuning in on TV and staying for the duration unless they were a fan of either side. But yeah, I like I said, yeah, I always felt confident. I always felt like we were going to win. I'd never felt worried, really. I know Wickham had a few attacks, but, you know, unless I'm misremembering, I don't really remember being panicked or feeling panicked like they had a spell or a really good chance at any point. And yeah, I just thought we always looked like we were in control, even if we weren't ruthless and weren't absolutely on it. Yeah, I think with the big pitch, we were always going to be the favourites, and there was nothing on the day that sort of made me feel uneasy or anything. It did obviously look like it was heading into extra time, and I still can't believe the number of people who were saying like amazing goal, brilliant goal. And like, no, I'm not saying these are posh fans. I think these are people who were maybe just watching the video, like on the highlights or something. People saying what a goal to win it. I just don't get that. Like, it was definitely a cross, and it was maybe not as wind assisted as some people might think, because he was clearly aiming for the back post. But it was a cross, right? I'm not the only one thinking this.
No, I've seen people where like the video's been shared on social media. So I've seen people saying, "Ah, it's goal of the season. That's better than anything we'll see in the Premiership." But yeah, it was. He didn't mean it. So can that count? I mean, he can still count as goal of the season, surely, even if he didn't mean it.
Sorry, just struggling to get off mute there. Been a while, haven't we, Rusty? No, he didn't mean it. It can't be. It can't be goal of the season if he didn't mean it. Not in my opinion, anyway. Unless it's like taking a bounce off 14 people and gone in on the underside of the bar. But yeah, it was definitely a cross. It was quite funny because we had the little ones with us. So we're like, oh, we don't really want it to go to extra time because just how much later you'd be out of the ground. And then when Posh scored, obviously you celebrate the goal and you're like, oh, great, maybe no extra time. And my wife turned around to me and goes, this is Posh. They'll concede. And then what happened? So, yeah, it was relief not to have to go into extra time as well, I think.
Yeah, you like facts, Sam. Here's one that I've stolen off Twitter. Apologies, I can't now re-find it to credit the person that I found it from. Posh now have the best 100% record at Wembley out of any other team. We've played four, won four. Morecambe even, Woking and Whitley Bay are the closest. They've all played three, won three. So we are officially the best team at Wembley Stadium.
We'll take that. I think it was Nathan Alban, one of my former colleagues who works for the BBC, dug that one out. So yeah, the others that have 100% have only played three times. We've now played four. And I'm trying to think, is there a way we can try and weave 2011 and Old Trafford into it? Different venue, probably not possible, but is there a way we can badge it as major finals maybe? We're 100% in five from five.
Maybe major finals. That was a day, Old Trafford, that will live long in the memory. Jared, you were Victor Meldrew about this one. You messaged the group chat, messaged me before, saying you weren't really looking forward to this one. It was a bit of a chore. And then even after we'd won and you got back home, all you did was fucking moan about people.
Because I fucking detest people, Tim. No, I'll be honest, I wasn't as buzzing about it as everyone else. So I was texting like all my friends who support Posh, or people I know support Posh, sorry to, asking how they were feeling. Everyone was saying, oh, I'm absolutely buzzing. But I just, for me, it's still the trophy that we've all been, you know, ripping all season. And it just felt like, yeah, don't get me wrong. Once you're there, you bang up for it. And you know, it's a great day, but great surroundings and things like that. So of course, when you're there, you want to win, but I wasn't too fussed, and very much like Sam, I was thinking, obviously I had my little boy with me, and I was thinking, I really don't want extra time and a longer day, longer train home. Well, the day's longer. Yeah, I just couldn't be bothered with any of that. Are we talking about our own match day experience or the day for Posh?
Well, it's, you know, what your day, I suppose, whether or not you, because you seem to not enjoy any of it at all.
No, so that's not down to Posh. The public transport, not being able to fit on tubes and being on many people's Snapchat story. my wife saw me get a couple of pictures taken because I was very hot, very annoyed, and had my head completely like this on the tube.
How tall are you, Jared?
6'9". So I was trying to have a drink Oh, you know, what's the bit between the carriages? I was in that bit and I was trying to drink, but also in my head like this. It's just a fucking nightmare. And obviously, I don't like football fans as a whole. That's just me as a person. I don't like the beep, 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 and all that kind of stuff. I'm not a fan of all that. So, yeah, well, obviously, when we was in the ground, I'm not one of these ones who moan about swearing either. Obviously, I had my son with me, he's six, and my wife, who's older than six. there's a lot of swearing going around. Again, not fussed by that, but I know there was
mass 10, isn't she, Jared?
That's it. Yeah, I know there was. No, that's incorrect. I know there was mass problems in the top tier, but we had issues on my row. It started off. Man, he must have been. I call him man Neanderthal. He must have been 48. And he was getting frustrated that the fans around him.
I like how specific that is. He must have been 48. I can have days as well, please.
Yeah, 2 months. He stood up and got frustrated that no one else was singing. And he stood up, why aren't you cunts fucking singing? And like was looking at all of the fans around him. I thought, bit much. I didn't buy it to it because I thought that's probably what he wants. He did it two or three other times. And this other fella said, look, you know, some people choose to sing and that's fine. You know, you do you, but others, we're not like that. You know, it's not how we watch football. I've never sung at a football game, but I appreciate the ones who do. They generate the atmosphere. If you have 22,000 Jareds in there, it's going to be shit, I can assure you. However, I know how to behave. And this absolute tosser in front, and he kept on doing it, calling everyone out around him, literally pointing at everyone in the vicinity. And then another guy got up, his friend, and they both started doing it. So it just caused havoc. Some fellow on my row stood up and said, look, pack it in. And he threw a punch at him. The both of them threw two punches between them. And I did end up rising to it a little bit. I didn't obviously get physical or anything like that. But I just thought, what an absolute disgrace. You got two grown men throwing punches at another human being for telling them to sit down and not abuse them, essentially. And there were so many people like it. I ended up going to the toilet just before halftime, seeing other two grown fellas pushing each other and kicking. And I just thought, what's going on? I thought we're all meant to be the same team. Then you look at the top tier and see people rolling down. It's just, why cannot people behave? I know this hooligan culture seems to be coming back. And I've never understood the mindset of people assaulting other people for supporting a different football team. That weren't even the case here. We all support the same football team. And it's just, I just cannot get my head around it. Some people go to a game and they drink and, you know, they get absolutely smashed and they want to enjoy the football. That's fine, but you still got to behave, and certainly within the law, surely.
Yeah, Sam, you were in the top tier where there was a bit of a ruckus, which has since gone viral. It's made us a bit of a laughing stock amongst other teams. You know, posh fans fighting with posh fans, it's never a good look. You were up on that top tier along with Nathan, who we just need to also mention. Congratulations, he got married yesterday. Was it yesterday? Wasn't he? He got married yesterday, so congratulations, Mr. and Mrs. Nathan. He was up in that top tier near yourself. You had a bit of a ruckus up there. What did you see up there?
Yeah, well, firstly, I just want to address this point that, again, I don't know, I can't remember who it was, but it was on Twitter that me and Nathan were in the top tier, so apparently we're not proper fans. And I've never heard so much.
Yeah, I've got that here, Sam, actually. I've got it right in front of me because I was going to read this here. So this is from Ashley, who we should just mention as well, was on our Twitter header for a while because he reviewed the pod saying it was a waste of a podcast. So we like Ashley for what it's worth. But he's commented on Twitter saying, politely, no real posh fan found themselves with tickets on the upper tier for the game today. Opened up last minute to add some extra sales. Those are your typical glory hunters. Now, yourself and Nathan were up there. Your right to reply.
What? Like, I'm happy to be a glory hunter for the EFL trophy. Absolutely fair play on that one. So is Jared. I think you'll nod. So are you, Tim. Dan's the only one who can claim to have been to a previous round, I think. So I absolutely take that one for the trophy. But no, like, okay, so point in case, my dad has been to one posh game in like the last 5 years and was down on the lower tier. I've been to over 100. So automatically, because of where I sit, I'm not a proper fan. That's fine, I'll take it. But there were loads of people who weren't. I was up there because it was cheaper and was waiting for those. And then by the time I did, they were the ones that I could get in a row. Other people might have, like Nathan, couldn't go. And then his plans changed. And then suddenly he could go. Like, it's either stupid or clumsy the way that's worded. I think what they were trying to say was that there were a lot of people up there who weren't proper fans, but not everyone who was up there was not a proper fan. And plus, I'm going to call them regular. There were regular fans dotted all over the ground. There were casual fans dotted all over the ground. And by the sounds of this, because Jared, I think you were first here, weren't you? There were idiots all over the ground. I've seen people who I know have not been to Posh for years, you know, that I'm friends with and stuff, and they were there. So that's absolute bollocks. But what happened on the top tier? Yeah, so, I mean, it was sort of like two seats, an aisle, two seats, and then that's where it was. So it was quite close. There were three people who were sat in front of me for the first half, and one of the three turned out to be one of the two main protagonists in it. The other two were actually really friendly. They were friendly with the kids around them. I've seen some rumours that they were Wickham fans. Rubbish. One of them had blue and white Posh hat on and gave it to a kid. So they sat there the first half, and they didn't then come back to those seats for the second half. And then I've subsequently worked out they went to sit, you know, five, six seats away, row back. And I became aware of it maybe midway through the second half, suddenly became more stewards in and around sort of the walkway. And then this sort of big, bold guy, again, probably in his 40s. Like, I don't know what you'd do, Jared, if you were working and someone did this to you, but he put his arm around one of the stewards, put his cheek up against him, cheek to cheek, and then started gesturing at this other guy, saying, it'll take a lot more than fucking you to come on there, mate, come on there, mate. And I think it was to do with him getting beer in or whatever. I don't know what so it was like about 15, 20 minutes, it was sort of, the tension was building. And then just suddenly it kicked off, and obviously everyone became aware of it. And just punches were thrown. There were really young kids caught up in it. It was just horrible to see. Luckily, I felt pretty safe because of my distance. Shame Nathan's not on the pod, because he would have had a much more close first-hand experience of it. And I saw him, because I'd seen him before the game. So I said, come sit next to us, because we had a couple of seats either side of us. And the stewards did a pretty good job of sort of containing it. But yeah, and then what a captain Harrison Burrows is, obviously knows there's a fight going on, so pops up and scores a goal to distract everyone. And I did manage to see it and keep my focus on that, but a lot of people missed the goal. Like I said, my dad was other side of the ground first tier. He was watching it and got distracted by it because he was like, what's going on up there? And it just speaks to what Jared was saying. Like, I've always sort of, obviously sort of didn't, because I was driving at the weekend, I was with my family. But whenever I go to football games, I normally have a couple of beers. There's just this growing culture, isn't there? You see it shared on these like away day Facebook posts and stuff, of people who take like full on optics on trains and whiskies and everything and have a good time. But if you can't handle it, stop it. Like, it's just absolutely disgraceful the way that football is now. And luckily, I don't think my kids are too affected by it. Although my little 2-year-old in the car on the way home was saying they were scratching and biting and kicking. And I saw someone's bum, which is true. I've looked back at the video. You could see someone's bum. So he clearly took quite a lot of the detail in. Luckily, they've also been focused on shouting Borough and the football. So I think they've, you know, the good has stayed with them. But yes, last three times I've been to Wembley now, two for England, one for Posh, and just really bad experiences of other people and a minority spoiling it. Like, what I will say is so many of the Posh fans up there were brilliant, like good with our kids, really friendly, really chatty, people up for a good day. But it's just these people who just go to games. And I mean, I didn't realize getting a football ticket was like having a ticket to a secondhand vaping session these days, like these bubblegum vapes that are just everywhere, just blowing them into people's faces. And then this culture just coked up and drunk off their skulls. And I just don't know where it's come from, but it's just fed up with it, really. So, yeah, as I said, Nathan would have had a much, much worse experience. I did feel pretty safe, and that was good, and fair play to the stewards. And yeah, just not a great sort of ending to an otherwise good day.
I'll just echo what you say about Ashley's comment. It's complete nonsense. I was in the second batch of tickets to be released. And there was 6 to 7 people around me on my right who were watching the Man United Liverpool game. So, you know, are they proper Posh fans, even though they got obviously priority points? So it's just rubbish, absolute rubbish. And like Sam said, it is a shame that I even on Sunday we went. I met some of my wife's family. We met up at a pub. I probably had 5 or 6 drinks. again, I know what I can handle. I had 5 or 6. I was with my family. I then went to the game. And as soon as you get in there, you see people, you see jaws are swinging from Brighton to Bristol. They're gurning like mad out the back. Obviously, beers are flowing and things like that. And at that time, you think, oh, the atmosphere is good. But because, you know, it wasn't the most fun of games, it started to kick off. And what is quite strange is I missed Burrow's first goal because that's when it was happening for us as well. So it's around exactly the same time where it was going off. And I think I played Ernie's clip, didn't I? My son on the group chat. And even he was saying, because when we scored, they were hugging again. And he poked me on the shoulder. He goes, Dad, what's going on? 1 minute they're trying to punch each other. 1 minute they're cuddling. Which one's it going to be? And I thought, if he's got that mindset at 6, you know, and then know how to work that out for himself. Luckily enough, I knew one of the security guards nearby. So I got hold of him and he stood near this group and they calmed down then. But the whole time the security were there, this guy was like biting his fist and punching himself in the head. And I thought, just go home, mate. If you really can't handle the excitement of the BDSM trophy, then just go home. It's pathetic, absolutely pathetic. But it is a growing culture. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And there was people who I saw near the singing area who just couldn't watch the game because they were so off their face. They couldn't see a foot in front of them, let alone the football pitch.
What was your experience like, Tim?
You know what, I had a really good day. I took my daughter to this. It was her first time at Wembley. I love that place. Like, to watch football, if you're lucky and you don't get Muppets like you guys had around you, it is by far the best place in the world. And I've not been to every stadium in the world, but certainly in this country to watch football. It is an incredible piece of architecture, and it's comfortable, it's big, it's great. And it's a shame that Muppets like what you guys had around you have to ruin all that. But I certainly had a great game. Some of the people around me were getting annoyed when I was standing up saying, why aren't you singing and all this sort of stuff? No, I'm joking. That wasn't me. No, I thought it was a really good game. I guess while we're sort of getting all the negative stuff out of the way, the only thing that I want to bring up, and it's more of a cultural thing in football, and I guess it's twofold. One, I don't understand why, and I can relate this to Posh, why so many Posh fans have an issue with what they coin as day trippers or glory hunters or whatever you want to call them. Like, we're playing at Wembley. We haven't done that for a decade. Of course we're going to get people there that don't go every week. But I don't understand why that's a bad thing. It's not like we didn't have enough tickets available. Like, there's more than enough seats for everyone to go there. I get that it makes the atmosphere a little bit disjointed. I get that you have people like you guys have just described that maybe can't handle it because they don't go every week. But why do we have to shame people for going to a game once every 10 years? If that's what they do, good for them. The club's still benefiting from that. And what's more important is we all three of us took our children to this game. Certainly for me, I don't know if it's the same for you guys, it was their first main footballing experience. And it's that these kind of experiences that are going to encourage the next generation of Posh fans to come through, surely. So why are we, I don't understand why as a fan base we're so day trippers this and our glory hunters that. I get it if it means that the regular fans can't get tickets, for example, Cambridge away. But at Wembley, we've got...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
45,000 tickets to play with. We've got more than enough seats available.
There does seem to be something within the Posh fan base where almost like a battle to be number one. Yeah. I'm the best Posh fan. You know, I'm number one. And I could reel your 10 names off. I won't, because they'll enjoy it. But there is plenty of them around. And you're right. I know loads of people. Half of Spalding was there, where I'm from, and loads of people there. I think you're not a Posh fan, but who cares? They're there to watch the Posh. They want Posh to win. Yeah. They're putting, you know, money in Posh's bank. So good luck to them. The majority, I think we spoke about this in the group, I asked the question, and I've got no issue with two-team Tonys. I know we've made a bit of a joke of it in the past on previous episodes, but so long as they are, you know, they're following Posh, it's good news. Of that 22,500, how many of them just support Posh? You're probably looking at a minority there. But again, if Posh is your second team, your third team, your fourth team, Posh are on the list, happy days.
Yeah, exactly.
I completely agree with you, Jared. I mean, it's and you, Tim. I suspect every fan base has this to a certain degree. But yeah, this divisive, you know, it goes back to the, oh, you know, depending on where you sit, depends on how good a fan you are. I mean, there's 1,000 reasons why people will be sat in different parts of the ground. Yeah. You know, people might be ill right until the last minute, and then suddenly they can go because they've overcome a long illness. So yeah, they're all for it. I mean, other than obviously the absolute morons that were there that don't represent any good at any football ground or football club or society just generally. And that's why it was a shame to see that behaviour when you've got influenced people, you know, young people who maybe now are put off going to a game. I mean, it was my kids, that's their third game. They've been to one at Posh, they've been to an away game, and now they've been to Wembley. And, you know, they loved seeing that big ground and, you know, being part of it. They also enjoyed eating lots of food as well. But yeah, absolutely. I'm all for it. I mean, you said what happened was, you know, Spalding, loads of people from there going, Jared, I'm from Deeping, and loads of people I know that have other teams or aren't regular Posh fans were there. Like, social media was flooded with it, and brilliant. Like, great to see it. It's, you're always going to get that. We'll get that if we get to the playoffs. We'll get that if we get to Wembley again. Like, do we, Posh only probably have a hardcore base of between 4,000 and 5,000, I would say, you know, those season ticket holders plus a few more who will be there all the time. Everyone on top of that, even at home games in the season, aren't people who go regularly. So I just don't get that using this chance, rather than being welcoming, saying, everyone come, you're all part of it, you're here, you're supporting Posh, brilliant, you're in our corner. We have to point score about who's better than who. I mean, it's as I say, it's bonkers. I think other fans, other clubs will do it all the time. But yeah, let's embrace it, and let's hope that they do now get behind the team for the final few games and people are persuaded to come to another match.
We've spoke about it for years, haven't we, on growing the fan base, and we've spoke to the owners on ways of doing that. At Old Trafford in 2011, there were 17,500 Posh fans there. For this game, I think there was, 22,500. So that's growth there. Possibly some of them are day trippers, but even if a small percentage of them, and I know for a fact, actually, because it's one of the guys who works for me, he went along to the game. And I see him as I was queuing up in the 3-mile queue to have a wee. And he was at the Port Vale game last night as well. He thought I enjoyed it, and I've gone again.
Yeah, because you got 50% off, didn't you, if you had a ticket for Wembley.
So. Oh, did you? Right, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, and another good idea. That's proof that, you know, someone has gone back, and I think, you know, he's not on his own there. There'll be many more, and it's a good way of building a fan base. For them to get ridiculed for it is just, it's absolutely ridiculous, honestly.
Yeah, like I said, my dad hasn't been for years, and he went with another friend who lives way out of Peterborough, wouldn't get to a home game. So yeah, all for it, absolutely. And I think that, I mean, the Old Trafford thing, I think it being in Manchester obviously limited our numbers, because last time we were in the trophy final, so obviously, I mean, it was a few years after that, and we'd had a couple of years in the Championship, so that helps. It was similar, wasn't it, to what we've had just now. But I've definitely noticed an increase in younger people going to Posh games over the last sort of 10, 15 years, you know, since I was young myself and went, I guess, there really weren't many like that. You thought it was quite an older fan base. And so, yeah, absolutely. Like, big day at Wembley. I mean, Jared, you took your boy, didn't you? Because you don't want him to support Man City or whatever it was. So, you know.
Exactly. That's, yeah. I mean, you weren't best pleasing me, because Peterborough Phantoms had a playoff game at the same time. So you weren't best pleasing me, but I've got to get in there to try and avoid the Man City fan base in them being recruited. But I must say, Posh have done an amazing job with the youth in the area. Regards to the school initiative and getting Peterborough involved. And even today, we dropped Ernie off at the Posh a training ground for one of their, you know, Easter camp days, and it was brilliant. He loved it. He ended up coming home raving about Posh. I think Peterborough turned up. I think Harrison Burrows went in there to speak to the team and speak to all the young kids playing, and it was great. So, no, hats off to Posh. I'm always quick to jump on them when they do some of the staff, but no, they've done a great job with the youth in the area.
Is there anything Harrison Burrows doesn't do?
Yeah, I was just going to say the same. This guy at the minute is like the oracle, isn't he? I mean, he was living our dream on Sunday, wasn't he? Local lads.
Unbelievable story.
Grew up around the city. Yeah, just, I mean, that's what you dream of when you're at school doing that, scoring at Wembley, cross or shot. It doesn't matter what it is. It was an incredible, incredible finish. And I mentioned this to you guys off air, but I'm always quick to brag when I'm right, which is 99.9% of the time. But I do just want to go on record with an apology and admit that I have been wrong this season about Harrison Burrows. I was part of the relatively vocal group of fans at the start of the season who was adamant that Harrison Burrows is not a left back. In my view at the time, it was very much a case of square peg, round hole. We haven't recruited. Let's just put him there because we can't put him anywhere else. And I think it was until probably about Christmas, wasn't it, that I was saying he's not a left back. He shouldn't be a left back. We need a left back. But I absolutely got that wrong. And I'm more than happy to admit that, because his figures now, when you look at his stats as a left back, are some of the best, not just in EFL, but in the country. He's up there with the best at the minute, Sam. Genuinely, I wonder if this guy, he's blindsided us. We knew he had potential, but I wonder if now he should be in the same conversations as the Ronnie Edwards et al.
I think even the most blindly optimistic of Posh fans would have question marks at the start of the season about Burrows at left back, purely because of, I guess, height. Question marks over his strength, positioning. You know, he has been a more forward player. Fergie once heralded him as a 10. So central and forward up the pitch, not left and towards the back of the pitch. But, you know, Fergie's clearly seen something and they've grown on that. And yeah, I mean, unbelievable. He has always had that talent with the delivery. I've never quite seen someone cross it so good, so consistently. The technique to roll with the studs out of his body and then whip it in. I mean, the combination with Clark Harris in the season we went up last when we, you know, were second to Hull, the assists from him to Clark Harris finishing was, you know, that was just like our plan A all the time, and it worked, because when he was never a byline winger, was he? You know, he'd always sit deep, let the left back overlap, play the ball, get the ball back, and then cross from deep. And he's just so good at it. I mean, he's had 52 games this season, 27 goal contributions, 12 goals, 15 assists. Okay, I know he's a set piece taker, I know he takes penalties, but that is phenomenal. You know, one in two, better than a goal contribution, one in every two games. And actually, his stats are probably better than that, because last night against Port Vale, you see the own goal. It's him who puts the cross in. So actually, you know, in my mind, he should get the assist for that. He won't be officially credited with it, but he's forced that. So his numbers are actually probably better than it says on paper. And I know we were talking in the group chat last night about where, you know, even if we do go up, are we, you know, as you just said, will we keep Edwards? Will we keep Burrows? And I think it was Dan, wasn't it? He said he'll go straight to Man U when Luke Shaw gets injured permanently or whatever it was. I think it's more likely that something will happen like that Leif Davis, who's a phenomenal left back for Ipswich, will go to a big club, and then Ipswich would come knocking for another left back of similar ilk who can put in the assists and score some goals. So, yeah, I think big things are ahead for Burrows, whether that's with us or not. But yeah, he's had a phenomenal season.
Yeah, living in the West Midlands, unfortunately, my timeline is filled with a lot of Coventry City news, and I've seen a lot of their fans talking about Burrows, because of the, obviously they've got Mason Clark joining. A lot of their fans are saying, well, they've already got that relationship. Let's get Burrows in. We'd complete that left flank for Coventry. I don't know, a bit like Mason Clark, I'm not sure if Coventry's the right club for him. I don't know. I mean, if you're Burrows, you still want to play at the very top. But do you think, Jared, the fact he's a local lad buys into that story, club captain, do you think that makes a difference? If a team like Ipswich, let's assume they stay in the Championship and don't get promoted, if a team like Ipswich come knocking, Is that enough of a step up for him? Or do you think he goes, no, I love this club too much, I'm going to stay at Posh?
I think as fans, we'd all hope that he would do the latter. But no, there's no chance. I think as soon as he gets that, I think good luck to him. And it's a young lad. It's, I think, a treble his wage or something silly like that. And yeah, he'll be gone. And that's the downside of being a League One football fan, isn't it? You don't get to keep your best players. And I think there's only a select few in English football who've got the ability to do that. So no, he will move on. But it is a dream. I mean, I think him and Ricky J. Jones, it was in the press that those two were at the final in 2014 against Chesterfield, just like we were. And then 10 years later, they're important players. And in Harrison's case, winning the game for his... And he was a Posh fan, wasn't he? Boyhood club. So it is a dream. It's all Posh fans' dream. And he's made it happen. So well done to him.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned earlier, Jared, about how I'm right most of the time. Ricky J. Jones is a player we need to talk about again. Yawn. I've been saying consistently, if not for the last 18 months, that he's not...
Harrison is not a left-back. You have, that's true.
Yeah.
No, I told you he was.
And you also told me that Ricky J. Jones is an amazing player that will make it at the club. Surely, even you have to be waning at this point.
I am getting frustrated with him now, I won't lie. Purely because the amount of chances we're putting on a plate for him, and not necessarily on a plate all the time, but he should be putting them away or at least getting them on target, but he's not even getting a shot away. So yeah, I am getting a little bit fed up of it. I love his work rate. I love how he chases down. I love how he allows us to play football in the final third as well. All of that's fantastic, but he's finishing is worse than diabolical. It's just not there. It's not there in his game. It could possibly get there. I'm sure it could. But, you know, at this crucial part of the season, having an experiment almost in that regard up front is not what we need. What I've noticed as well, not so much about his finishing, like I've made my opinion clear on that, but his movement. And there's so many times where you've got, say, Archie Collins bombing forward in midfield and you're looking for that run. You know, you watch football on the TV at all levels and it's a natural thing. You see, you know, a midfielder and you're waiting for that striker to make the run, and he often doesn't, and he's obviously got the ability to do so. He does make the runs, but the wrong ones. So yeah, I am getting a little frustrated with him, Tim, to be fair.
Jared, up to and including the Port Vale game, across all competitions, how many goals do you think we've scored this season?
He scored?
No, we've scored as a team, up to and including Port Vale, across all competitions.
90 odd.
Sam?
I think we've got 80 in the league, haven't we? So I'd say maybe 115.
110 across all competitions. But I can't help but wonder, Mr. Edwards, if we had the striker that we always seem to have at this club, that for some reason we don't have this year, how many more that would be? Because for every 110 goals we've scored, we've surely created 330 chances.
Yeah, obviously I can't answer that question. I get the point you're making. I think everyone's sort of coming round to that, as Jared was sort of just saying, beginning to get frustrated or already frustrated or beyond frustrated. I was surprised that he started on Sunday in the trophy final. I thought Malik would start more of a physical game, perhaps, where you thought he might run in the space. There were a couple of times, definitely in the second half, where Jones you thought would run into space, and actually the defender sort of kept up with him and slid in and tackled, so you sort of didn't benefit from that breakaway speed that you were hoping for. I suppose that there would be, just to be, you know, absolutely diplomatic on this one, there would be an argument that he create space for others by stretching the play, and that opens up, you know, I remember this being a criticism about Dembele before, about what a footballer this guy is, contributes goals and assists, don't they? Not on the pace side of things, but you know, his numbers aren't phenomenal, but actually he contributes in other ways. So that's where you've just got to obviously have the faith in Darren and the management team that they're seeing things and looking at that whole picture. But yeah, I mean, I know early on there were a couple of big chances. And to bring in Jared's most favourite thing with XG, it's interesting that there were such big chances and yet it wasn't sort of saying that we should have even scored, because our XG was still like half a goal at that point. So whether we're reading it in a slightly more critical, cynical way, because that is obviously quite a rigid calculation. But yeah, I think you pulled out a stat, didn't you, Tim? Was it in our WhatsApp chat maybe a couple of months back now, in terms of how many using the XG stat, that's why I bring it in, how many he should have had this season versus how many he had. And I think at that point it was like 8 in all competitions, or 7 or 8, or versus it should have been like more like 14.
Yeah, and I imagine those figures are probably similar. It's difficult, though. It is difficult because I feel like I'm being greedy by wanting Ricky J. Jones to score more goals, because ultimately we're the league's top scorers still. And to put this in, I know how much you guys love it when I talk about Gillingham. To put this in relation to another club, right? We've scored 110 goals so far across all competitions, and we've still got 5 potentially more games to play. Gillingham, across the last 3 seasons in all competitions, have scored 113. So we've nearly scored, we will have scored more in a season than they've scored in 3 seasons combined. So I feel like I'm being greedy, but I can't help but think that we would be all aboard HMS Piss the League if Ricky J. Jones could score, because at the minute he can't finish his dinner, as you keep saying, John.
Yeah, I agree to a point. However, I would argue, and this is a really, really strange concept, because JCH is obviously a double golden boot winner. I'm not so sure we'd have scored as many if we'd have played JCH all season and not Ricky J. Jones.
No, it's a different style of play, though, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think Sam made a good point earlier where, you know, the way he does play probably does spread the goals around the team. Which is a good thing, because we've always been quite reliant on say that one striker. So that's a positive. But he will end up being dropped and probably not starting at all if he doesn't improve that finishing. It's got to happen. And you could see, I think Mothersill's goal went down as an own goal. But just the runs he was making, he looked so much more likely to score than Ricky did. But
I still don't think Mothersill's fit. I still don't think he's where he needs to be fitness-wise.
Well, what's he been doing? He's had long enough.
Yeah, but it was a long injury. I don't know. The difference between the two is it feels like Ricky's playing at the very edge of his game. He feels like he's right at the peak of his ability. But it feels like Mothersill's still in first gear. Like, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Jared. It feels like Mothersill's still got 5 or 6 gears in him that we haven't yet seen. But I don't feel like we've got that with Ricky.
Yeah, no, that's a fair comment. I do feel that as well. But with Mothersill, but I do feel like Ricky could, something could click and he could end up finishing. And if he did, if he was an accomplished finisher, say of, I don't know, Jack Marriott kind of level, then he would become one hell of a player, because he's got a lot of the rest, hasn't he? Maybe he needs to touch upon his football intelligence, like I said earlier.
Yeah, it's decision-making, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But it's the decision making's one thing, but if you've got the finishing, obviously you finish more than you don't. But he just hasn't got that element to his game at the minute. He's still young, but he has been in and around the first team for many years.
He's
21 now. Still very young. It's only because he was in the team at 15, 16.
Yeah, but he should be better than this at 21, in my opinion.
Well, you compare. No, I don't think he should be better than that to be in the squad. He's good enough to be in the squad. Is he good enough to be our number 9? No, he isn't. I think that is been proven now. I've stuck up for him all season, and I still stand by it. He's a good squad player, but for him to lead our line and potentially go up to the championship with him, he's just not at that level yet.
I just want to throw in a comparison player, which people might think is sort of pointless because he's not an option we have. But Joe Taylor, who we used to have, who's now at Lincoln, you know, went to Luton, obviously on loan, I think, isn't he, at Lincoln? They've not signed him. I remember seeing a highlights reel of his first game, I think it was, on loan at Lincoln. Ran his socks off, quick, couldn't finish. Who does that remind you of that we've been talking about all season? Now got 9 goals in 15 games, and actually his record's even better than that when you distill it down to like the last 7. I think he's got like 7 in 8 or 7 in 7 or something. So he's very quickly found his feet and being able to finish. And I think that's why we keep being frustrated, because we think that's possible, Ricky. I think also, like we just said, we used to having a striker at the top of the charts, you know, whether it's Tony, whether it's Marriott, whether it's Clark Harris, you know, whether it's Osombo Longo, you know, we have, as you just said with the Gillingham stat, Tim, we are very blessed as Posh fans in terms of it has generally been exciting and there's been lots of goals. And now we have spread it around. I think there's six players, aren't there, in the league with sort of seven or more goals. You've got Kyprianou, Randall, Clark Harris, Poku, Mason Clark and Jones. And maybe that's good. So maybe we shouldn't just always rely on one person. But yeah, I just thought I'd throw Joe Taylor in because he's someone who has got the pace and is clearly his finishing is now coming. And I mean, aren't Lincoln seeing the results of that? Because they're probably, you know, favourites maybe to sneak into that sixth spot. I know Oxford are there currently, aren't they? But they've had a storming last sort of couple of months with him being a large part of what they're doing so well.
Just touching on strikers, I'm actually really looking forward to seeing more of that Pemi Adeyemi. I think we've come on against Wickham, did he, away? But his stature, his physicality, and his finishing, from what I've seen of him at 19, looks like he could be the next one off the conveyor belt. He looks really promising.
Yeah. I think the comparison's fair, Sam, with Joe Taylor. The difference I would argue is that Taylor's continued to develop season on season as Ricky JJ. I don't think he's any better than he was when he was 17, 18.
I think he's definitely better this season than he has been. I mean, I know his stats definitely say that, but I do think it's whether the progress is as much as you would want it to be or as much as you think it could be. And again, that's what Darren and his team need to look at when the season ends and whether they make those decisions or not. I do think there has been progress. It's whether we think the progress is enough and whether there's more progress yet to be achieved to point to your thing. Is he already hit his ceiling? We don't know that. You know, we can make guesses and we can make assumptions and accusations, I guess. But yeah, it'll be very interesting to see what happens at the end of the season, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't want him to leave because he is my daughter's favourite player. So Ricky, if you are listening, I love you. Please send me a signed shirt.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.